Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcaster are Steve Thompson, way up there in Roaring Gap, North Carolina. Hello, Steve. How are you tonight?
Hi, Neil. Fine. Hello, everybody, and hello, listeners.
Okay, and checking in, let's see. Let's go down to Florida, somewhere around Central Florida, around, just south of Ocala and north of Orlando in a little village called The Villages. Is it very little, Chuck? Albright.
Well, not anymore. We've just crossed about 120,000 people, and that kind of correlates into around 50,000 homes. The weather has just been fantastic the last couple of days, a little cool. I notice you guys up north are sending some more cooler weather down. That's better. But it looks like it's going to be just great for tomorrow's tournament, which I'm in. And so we should have a great golf day on our 50 golf courses out here. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, Chuck. Now, that wouldn't be the PGA tournament, would it? Have you reached the PGA level yet, Chuck?
No, I'm just slightly below ground level of the PGA.
Okay. All right. And then down south of West Palm Beach in the Delray area, Pompano, Florida area, Cecile Intriago. How are you tonight, Cecile?
I'm great, busy as a bee, typing away because you've got me working, Neil. The temperature here in Fort Lauderdale is 73. It's been a little nippy, but it's beautiful weather. And we would all like to congratulate Joseph Pastrana, who was a former Eastern Airlines employee and now has been hired by the new Eastern Airlines as a flight attendant. And he is greatly excited. So congratulations, Joseph Pastrana.
Very good. And we'll talk a little bit more about it later on in our program about the new Eastern, of course. Let's see. John Roos, are you with us tonight, John? Hello. Well, I thought John was with us, but we must have lost contact with him. Jim Graybill, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Neil. Hello, everybody.
Well, where's Jim Graybill these days?
Well, I'm sitting on the side of the mountain here in Kennesaw. I got my Confederate uniform on, so I got guard duty here about 9 o'clock tonight.
Uh-oh. I'll never forget flying over, and I shouldn't say this on the air, but I did have this captain that was deeply south-rooted. And he told me as we passed over, I think we were going from Chattanooga to Atlanta on a Convair 440, and he banked the airplane to the right so I could see. And he said, "Neil, down there is the greatest sight in the world." And I said, "Oh, well, I'm looking at the top of what looks like to be a mountain here." And it was a Kennesaw battle in the Civil War, and of course, he being Southern, told me that that was the cemetery of so many soldiers that had passed away during that war. And of course, he was talking about the Union, I guess. And so he every time he passed over that, he just felt that he needed to point out the fact that that was a national cemetery there in Kennesaw.
One interesting thing about the beautiful area.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing about the two mountains here in Kennesaw, when Grant came down through here, he couldn't conquer the two mountains, so he bypassed it and went on to Atlanta.
Oh, is that right? My golly.
Yeah, he lost a little over 700,000 men trying to take the Kennesaw mountains.
And there's a big battleground there, too, Jim.
Yeah.
And it's I guess it's a national park. I'm not certain, but...
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let's see, we've got Gay Harvey. And Gay, you're over in the Hilton area.
Hilton Head area. South Carolina. Yes, it's a gorgeous day here. I've got college kids home, and they spent the day at the beach today. So it's just beautiful.
Great. Now, Gay, you weren't with Eastern Airlines, but you knew someone that was with Eastern Airlines. But you went to Brand X. You went over to Delta Airlines,
did
you not?
I sure did. I flew for Delta for 28 years.
Did you get some static from the family about that?
I think they were just happy I had a job when I graduated from college. It was very hard, though. Eastern was my heart and soul, and still is. So, you know, but a job is a job.
It probably was because your dad was a captain with Eastern Airlines, and his name was Steve Thompson, who is with us tonight. So we have...
That's right.
Father and daughter. Great.
Yeah.
I wish I could get my daughter to come on these shows with me, and she could tell all the things that I used to come home with.
That's right.
But
it's fun.
All of our war stories. Actually, when an airline pilot comes home after a three-day trip on the airlines, and he's had every failure in the world and every miserable encounter that a person could have, and engine failures and what else, it seemed like the wife never asked, "How was your trip, darling?" I never did get asked that question. I don't know about you, Steve, whether Glenda ever asked you, "How was your trip, Steve?"
If but, I didn't volunteer it, they were asking.
Okay. Let's see, who do we have up in New York? We have Frank. Are you with us tonight, Frank Segnor?
Yeah, I'm up here in Long Island. Beautiful day up here.
Beautiful day. What's beautiful in Long Island this time of year? What's beautiful?
In the 40s. Bright sunshine. We had a big party for my wife over the weekend. It was her 80th birthday.
Oh,
and the whole family was here, and it was great.
Oh, good, good, good. Very good. Okay, and then we have a newcomer to our show, and hopefully we'll hear more every week, or as much as she can appear on our show, as much as she wants to and can stand it. I don't know. She might leave us after putting up with this motley crew that we have. Jill Cotton. Jill, hello, and
hi there,
welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. I started listening in January, almost 4 years ago. So I've put up with you that long. I think I could put up with you some more.
All right. Now you can tell us all about all the lies that we've told over the last 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Did I leave anyone out?
Some of them, too.
Okay, very good. But did I leave anyone out? Jim Hart. Okay, Jim, since you're the announcer, show, tell us all about where Jim is and what's Jim doing.
Okay, I'm in a suburb of West Palm Beach. It's called Royal Palm Beach, and we had a beautiful day today. The temperature got up to about 72. The tourists are loving it, and we just completed our 21st Eastern Airlines Palm Beach chapter Christmas luncheon last Saturday, and we had 45 people there. We had a beautiful time, and the weather, as I said, has just been perfect. So I wish all of you up north, remember that famous saying, "Come on down."
Yeah, we remember that.
Yeah, we sure do. Come on down. Let's see. What else are we going to talk about, Jim? Anything else?
Well, no, I guess if you've listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers, 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. And remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your phone if you wish to connect live with the show. Neil.
Well, Jim, just as a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to www.ealradioshow.com and click the arrow in the circle on the radio icon that appears on that page. Or you can go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website, and click on the radio show's icon on that homepage. Their site is www.repaonline.com. And there you'll see
the
radio
icon.
Let's
start the engine for our show tonight.
Okay. Well, let's see. I want to start one that I like, and then if you guys don't like it, we can always go back to the old days. But sounds a little bit more modern than what we have been cranking that engine up to. Let's see what kind of engine sound we've got to start our show. You guys in the cockpit and in the cabin, when those engines started, you didn't hear all that noise. Somebody standing close by a jet engine starting up, and all the noise outside that one would hear when the jet engine started up. And that particular jet engine is the sound of a jet engine on the Boeing 767. I found that engine sound. At least that sounds to me like a 727. All jet engines sound the same to me. But there are roars.
What's our show about tonight?
Well, okay, Jim, since you want to get this thing going, and let's talk a little bit about our show. We want to take you on some flights where the crew members certainly had to earn their wings by attempting to serve their passengers in a way not described in their flight manuals. Now, flight attendants usually took care of business by adhering to their flight manuals that they were issued and they were trained to do and carry out. Most of their activity was centered around safety, of course, and they were highly trained in the safety of the passengers on board the airplane. But sometimes they had to take a little bit more than what the manual talked about and how they were trained. So they had to kind of ad-lib to a certain degree. And to start us off tonight, we have Gay Harvey. Gay, can you tell us a little bit about what happened at 35,000 feet?
Certainly, Neil. Attention, passengers. This is a confession of a fed-up flight attendant. Real-life situations she and her comrades in the sky face every day, 35,000 feet away from a foot massage and premium whiskey. You think you've got it bad when your in-flight entertainment conks out? The pixie sticks addicted kid behind you mistakes the back of your chair for a vertical trampoline? And the plane runs out of good morning sunshine cheese boxes? That's child's play. As a flight attendant who serves hundreds of people a day, I can honestly tell you that most of my passengers are nice, normal, wonderful people. The strange ones are few and far between, but they're the ones I will never forget. Here are some things that we just can't do for you. Sorry, but helping you wipe is above our pay grade. One flight I was on had a particularly robust passenger. So robust, in fact, he purchased 3 seats. He was nice enough, and the flight went along smoothly until he got up to use the restroom. Airplane bathrooms are small for average-sized people, And if you're a person who needs 3 seats, that airplane bathroom will not be okay for you. He managed to get in and shut the door. 5 minutes later, the flight attendant call bell from the inside of the bathroom rang. A petite flight attendant responded to the call bell and asked if the passenger was okay. He opened the door just a little bit and said he needed help wiping because he couldn't reach. This attendant frantically waved her hand in front of her mouth and said, "Oh, no, sir, no, no. We only do food and beverage. Only food and beverage."
Cecile?
Let's call this one The Mouse is Out of the House. On flights to Las Vegas, passengers get incredibly excited for the debauchery that lies ahead. This usually makes them drink too much. This one drunken guy went to the back of the airplane to use the restroom. In his drunken state, he didn't lock the door. While he was in the restroom, he passed out, fell backward, and ended up lying flat on the galley floor. The flight attendants heard a thud and rushed to see what happened. Because of what he was attempting to do in the bathroom, his flight was still down and his privates were exposed. I'm having trouble reading this one, Neil. The two flight attendants stood over him discussing what to do. "Let him sleep it off," one said. "Sleep it off," one said. "We can't leave him exposed," said another. "I'm not going to touch it," said a third. This went on for some time. They really needed to get back to the beverage service. I'll go ahead and finish it. They finally decided to get the long metal tongs that we used to serve bread in first class to move the exposed body part back into his trousers. He didn't feel a thing. You guys are all the same.
Oh, very good. Jill, do you have anything to add to that? Well...
it seems that no matter what, you do what you have to do to get through the flight. But this situation, I have to say, a reasonable solution. Today, as I was walking down the aisle checking passengers, I noticed a very large woman traveling across the aisle, out of the carrier and sitting on her lap. Well, as rules are rules, so I told her that the animals have to stay in their carrier. Without saying a word, she looked at me. Then she looked at the dog. And then she picked up the chihuahua and tucked the tiny little dog into her ample bosom. The dog sit there very nicely and seemed quite comfortable. So I looked at her and looked at the dog. And what could I say? Well, I guess technically that qualifies as a carrier.
Now, I guess that has happened on many occasions because some of these dogs, and my mother, I remember when I first got her a pass, she used to sell these little miniature teacup poodles. And believe me, they would fit in a teacup. That's why they call them teacup poodles. And anytime I got her a pass, she would take that teacup poodle and put her little teacup poodle in a brown paper bag with holes punched in it. And that's the way she brought her little dog along with her when she was pass riding. No one, I guess everyone figured that was her brown paper bag lunch that she was bringing
there
with
you
her. And, but crazy, crazy. How about it, Chuck?
Well, if you've ever flown on a long flight, you're probably trying to catch a few Z's before reaching your final destination. But it's not just the passengers that need a little shut-eye during those extra long flights. Have you ever thought about where the crew sleeps? Independent travel correspondent recently went behind the scenes to check out some of the secrets. The only areas of the Boeing 777. These spaces include crew lounge areas, eating spaces, and sleeping arrangements. A hidden staircase in the back of the plane leads crew members up to a separate area of the airplane designated for off-duty crew. Following a narrow passageway into the RV-like sleeping area with beds, real beds, not seats that recline, were laid out end-to-end. Not every airplane has the same configuration for crew areas,
on the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, plane crews can take a nap in a cozy padded dinette area situated in the rear of the aircraft. According to the Daily Mail, lucky pilots get their own spacious sleeping quarters. If you think airlines are holding out on passenger comfort to give their crews more spacious digs, think again. Crew quarters are often just as cramped as many economy cabins. But at least they don't have to worry about sleeping next to strangers. Steve?
Well, Ben Baldanza, chief executive of Spirit Airlines, does not seek out business travelers, nor does Andrew C. Levy, president of Allegiant Airlines. Although both discount carriers, airlines are prospering and adding routes in places where the major airlines have cut back service, Spirit and Allegiant market strictly to budget leisure travelers willing to put up with a limited service, lots of added fees, and cramped seating to get cheap fares. Our seats don't even recline, Mr. Baldanza said last week at the Boyd Group International Aviation Forecast Summit here. Well, I snapped to attention hearing that, and given the continued furor about the etiquette of reclining one's coach seat, and also giving the realization that I seem to be now putting up with limited service, lots of added fees and cramped seating, though at expensive fares on the major airlines I fly. I'm pretty sure Mr. Baldanza meant no irony in his comment, despite the growing internet clamor over the episode the day before on a United Airlines flight from Newark to Denver. As you may have heard, there was a spat involving a passenger deploying an ingenious $21.95 gadget called the Knee Defender. And this prevents a passenger in front from reclining his or her seat into what he regarded as his personal space. Long story short, she is said to have tossed a cup of water on him, whereupon the pilot decided to make an emergency landing in Chicago with serious inconvenience to the more than 160 other passengers on board. The social media flap intensified the next few days later after an American Airlines flight from Miami to Paris was diverted to Boston when a man arguing with another passenger about reclining a seat is reported to have grabbed the arm of a flight attendant who tried to intervene. That man was taken off the plane in Boston and charged with interfering with the flight crew, Jim.
So, the seat reclining wars heretofore fought mostly in simmering silence, a thrust into the open. On Twitter, one passenger noted that in a packed airplane, the air between the back of your seat and my face is my airspace, while a flight attendant is admonished in a Mashable article, toughen up, flyers, there's no rule against reclining. That flight attendant was Heather Poole, the author of an amusing book that I have mentioned here before, Cruising Altitude, Tales of Crash Pads, Crew Drama, and Crazy Passengers at 35,000 Feet. Miss Poole followed up with this reasonable tweet. I do blame the airlines for squashing the rows so close together, adding, but that doesn't give anyone the right to act childish. Most passengers submit quietly, if not cheerfully, to the indignities and cramped coach seating on jam-packed flights with only the occasional outburst. But flight attendants say they often need to referee disputes about seat reclining. And a survey of 1,000 international flyers last October by Skyscanner.com found that 91% favored an outright ban on seat reclining, or a settling of specific time periods for reclining on non-international flights. So it would seem that an airline that has non-reclining seats as well as cheap fares might have at least some market appeal for some business travelers. especially those in small and mid-sized cities where it's sometimes harder to find a convenient plane. Given cutbacks by major carriers, we're very happy to go in where we see a gap in service, which has continued to make small cities into bigger and better opportunities for us, said Allegiant's Mr. Levy, who nevertheless insisted that the airline's strategy was entirely focused on budget-minded leisure travelers. Gay Harvey.
Neither Spirit nor Allegiant professes any interest in claiming even a small segment of the business travel market, nor, given limited route networks and frequencies, has the business traveler market shown any measurable interest in them. In fact, Allegiant, while stressing that my business would, of course, be welcome, he went to some lengths to tell me why the airline didn't really advertise to business travelers. Beyond not marketing to business travelers, we don't even do any connections, said Jessica Wheeler, an Allegiant spokeswoman. Spirit takes a similar modest attitude about itself. Doesn't everybody really hate flying Spirit? Mr. Baldanza joked at the airline conference, alluding to familiar complaints in some quarters about Spirit, including its placement at dead last, 11th out of 11 airlines, in a ranking last year by Consumer Reports. But he added, we know that some people get us and some people don't get us. I myself have occasionally looked for Spirit or Allegiant options when booking a flight, but only on those occasions where my timing was flexible and my curiosity was sufficient to brave the unknown. Still, in this personal space battle, I'm with the side that says airlines should prevent coach seats from reclining altogether. While neither Spirit nor Allegiant publicly expresses interest in business travelers, maybe there's a trend in the air. Ryanair, the giant, cheap fare, no-frills airline that helped revolutionize budget leisure travel in Europe, seems to have gotten the idea, having discovered that about 25% of its passengers are in fact on business trips, most of them younger flyers willing to rough it a bit for a very cheap fare, Ryanair is now going for a bigger share. Last week, Ryanair announced a new Business Plus service at higher but still discounted fares, featuring priority boarding, fast-track airport security passage, and premium seats aimed at business travelers. And no, the seats on Ryanair don't recline either. Neil?
Breaking news, breaking news. Seoul, Korea. Nut rage imploded the career of a Korean Airlines executive and embarrassed her family and country. Now, South Korean retailers are experiencing the unexpected upside. A boom in the sales of macadamias. The flavorful macadamia nut was unfamiliar to many South Koreans until Cho Hoon Ah, the daughter of Korean Air's chairman, ordered a flight attendant off a December 5th flight from New York City after she was served the macadamias in a bag instead of on a plate. She resigned from executive roles, including head of cabin service last week, amid a storm of criticism about the tantrum that forced the flight to return to the gate. But macadamias are now a household name in South Korea, and with curiosity about their taste peaked, sales are booming. Auction. A South Korean unit of eBay and South Korea's second largest e-commerce website said Monday that sales of macadamias surged nearly 12-fold during the previous 5 days without any promotions. It said macadamias previously made up 5% of its nut sales, but were now accounting for almost half. South Korea's largest online shopping retailer, G-Market, also owned by eBay, said macadamia nut sales jumped 20 times during the 6 days to Sunday compared with the previous week. The website of e-commerce firm Coupang showed Mauna Loa macadamia nuts had sold out without, with about 100 users asking on the comments section for the products to be quickly restocked. And all of this came about, by the way, from an incident that happened on a Korean Airlines company executive flying from New York to Seoul last week. This was last week, this December, on one of the airline's planes, demanded that a crew member get off the jet prior to takeoff after the executive took issue with the way she was served the macadamia nuts, a company spokesman said. Around 250 passengers were aboard flight KE-086, whose takeoff Friday was delayed by about 20 minutes because the plane had to return to the ramp to drop off the crew member, said the spokesman. It's absolutely ridiculous as to what's happening in the air these days, it seems like to me. We never had, in our days with Eastern Airlines, I don't think we had that much complaint about. Well, we had some complaints, but Eastern Airlines, our carrier, the carrier that we love so much that we do a broadcast every week, we had, as most of us remember, first class famous dinner flights that we catered on the flights to Miami or New York to San Juan and out west and so forth. We would have these fine china crystals, crystal service, silverware, tabletop, and the best meal restaurant caterer that was in that area that served our flight served wonderful meals for first class and for the coach class. And I remember those days. And I even have some memorabilia, which were the plates and china and the crystals that we used on some of those flights that I happened to come upon and have them. And we remember those flights very well. And then came along the discount carriers and the offering, I believe, first that I can remember was People Express and offering peanuts and a brown paper bag if that they were on their flight with People Express in those days. Of course, the rates were a lot less than the main carriers flying in those days. Now, I don't know what they're serving. I haven't been on an airline flight in so long a period of time. I just can't tell you what they're serving these days. Anyone want to tell what they've experienced on any of their flights here recently?
Yeah, Neil, this is Jim. I was on JetBlue recently from West Palm Beach to the island of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. And we didn't get anything in terms of nibbles, but we were offered either coffee or juice or some sort of soda. But aside from that, I didn't miss anything, but I think some people may have. Who's next?
Well,
hey,
we've got...
Neil, this is Vito Borelli. How are you, Neil?
Yeah, hey, Vito Borelli. Thanks for tuning us in tonight, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, we got a big celebration coming up Friday. Our first airplane comes into Miami.
Okay, very good. You going to be there, Vito?
No.
Tell us all about that celebration, Vito, as you know it.
Well, it's going to be christened there at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon, and hopefully we'll have a great lot of people there. And I thought maybe anybody who wants to come out, they're welcome to come out to the Miami Airport at the FPO, which is right off of 36th Street and Curtis Parkway.
Vito, excuse me. Vito, excuse me. It's by invitation only, and they're overbooked because of the hangar being a certain size, and it could be a fire hazard. We had to turn down 15 of our Palm Beach chapter people because they didn't have any more room. And
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's overbooked. Mr. Weigel's secretary, we sent her a list, and only 7 of us were confirmed. So they're overbooked, no room, but it would be great if we could accommodate everybody.
It would be.
This is Jill. I'll back you up with that because Eastern flight attendants were offered 15 seats only also.
Hey,
so
listen, you want
they,
my...
They've been overwhelmed with people that want to come.
Jill, you know what my reply to that would be, Jill and Cecile? My reply would be for all of those people that want to come to see the first aircraft of the new Eastern stable, of the new Eastern Airlines, come into Miami, you ought to gather in front of it and protest. That seems to be the way to do things these days is, by golly, and wouldn't it be nice to have so many people that are over, that are not on the invitation list, that would show up rooting for the new Eastern Airlines and welcome the new airplane. Golly, I'd want to rush down and join the protest crowd.
That would be great, except there's no room, Neil. When I went down there recently, it was hard for me to find Building 5, the entrance. There's highways over the passes, major buildings. It's hard to get in. There is no room to protest. You'd have to be in the air.
Well, let me say this, though. There's lots of parking area there. You don't have to go inside that terminal.
No, there isn't, Vito. There isn't. I went down there, and there was no place to park except by Building 5, and it was all full. And to get in there, it took me half an hour, and I used to go to Miami every day for 10 years to find the entrance.
Cecile?
There's tremendous traffic there.
Cecile, I want to be the devil's advocate. I would say anyone that wants to go to that show up in the parking lot, like Vito said. And
there
is no room, Neil. The parking lot only holds about 100 cars.
Well, get out on the street, on the sidewalk.
You got the wrong location. You got the FBOs on 36th Street and Curtis Parkway, and there's a great big parking lot there. There's a fence line there. A lot of people can park there. You don't have to go inside the terminal. It's
wonderful.
A very small jet terminal for private jets, but there's lots of room there for parking. There's a great big fence line there. They can stay on that fence line and look in.
All right. We were just denied 15 people because they're overwhelmed with all the dignitaries and everybody. I think they're beyond capacity. They're beyond capacity, so I would not encourage anybody going there. Sorry, Neil, protest or no protest.
I like to
unless you have a confirmed reservation.
I like to shoot the hornet's nest.
They're talking about Building 5. This is not Building 5.
It doesn't matter, Neil, Vito. They're overbooked. Patty, Mr. Wiggle, Secretary.
I understand what you're talking about. Overbooking is the private ceremony which they're going to have on the inside of the terminal. But outside the terminal, there's plenty of room to park. There's a great big fence line. I was there today. I'm way home from the office. I stopped there just to check it out. And there's lots of room for parking right outside the terminal. You don't have to go inside the terminal.
Good for you, Vito. Okay. Good for you, Vito. I'm for you, Vito.
Okay, next subject, guys.
I'd say the hell with it.
Thank you.
Okay. One other thought, Chuck, before I let you have the floor here. I would welcome as an airline to have a protest because it couldn't get into a private invitation only ceremony or celebration. I would welcome the fact that so many people wanted to get in. Golly, here's a brand new airline starting up, and everybody wants to get in on the action. Golly, Pete, if I were the owner of that new airline, I would say, holy mackerel, man.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Chuck, what do you got to say?
Well, we're going to get back on the subject of what happens to different things to different crews. Now, as you know, I was not a pilot, and I was a mechanic, and I was in the 10-11 program mostly for about 10 years and then moved into management. And one of the funny things that happened to us is that the pilots and union come up with this objection of taxiing the planes. This was at Miami and at Atlanta, of taxiing the planes from the terminal to the maintenance area, because a lot of times they parked their car on the other side of the field when they brought their planes in. So the unions got together with management and decided to designate senior mechanics to taxi airplanes. I happened to be one of them in the L 1011 program, and you had to have certain qualifications, 10 years, both your license. You had to have certificate of going to a taxi class, and the same class that, in fact, the pilots would do to learn the taxi ways at the different airports. So one of the things that happened, which was kind of funny, was that we would taxi the planes from 36th Street over to the terminal area so they could have them ready in the morning. One time, I usually sat in the captain's seat and ran the airplane because I had the tickets to do so. But one of my friends of mine, he wanted to get checked out, so he got with the lead man, and I didn't get the ride that day. And so on that particular plane, he wanted to be checked out to get so he could get his certificate. So they got in the airplane and taxied it, and they got it. They held short of the main runway there at Miami. And all of a sudden, you hear this knock, knock, knock on the door, on the cockpit door. Well, back in those days, they had one of those little peepholes that you could look through. So the lead man got up, and he looked through the little peephole, and there was nothing there. So we said, oh, maybe it was just something on the airplane, and they didn't. So they started to get clearance to cross the active runway. And they said, no, you'd have to go around the large way around. So they turned the plane and went around, started around the long haul around the airport. And so consequently, when they stopped at the end of the runway to wait for some planes to land over, they hear this knock, knock, knock at the door. So this time the lead man got up, he opened the door, and here was this little old lady. She was about 4 feet tall. So when he looked through the door, he couldn't see her through the peephole. And she wanted to know if they had arrived in Miami. And he says, yes, they have. Would you please take your seat, and we'll be deboarding pretty soon. So they called the Eastern Tower and told them the problem. And the tower said, okay, just keep on taxiing around, and we'll take you to the gate that this plane came off of earlier. So they taxied the plane up to the gate, same gate she was supposed to get off on, and the lead man opened the door for her, and there was standing the girl from the ticket counter there with a couple of other gentlemen there, and they escorted her off down the runway, and she never knew what had happened. And we found out later she had fallen asleep in the last row of an L-1011. And if you know what it looks like, it's 5 seats across in the middle. Nobody ever saw her. They thought the blanket was covering her, just an old blanket there.
Okay.
That was one of the comic things that we had done on the ground crew.
Okay. Good story, Chuck. Now, we've got
Thank
our
you.
Board. As a producer here, I'm seeing all of these phone calls. And, golly, we've got our board lit up tonight. It seems like this is a very interesting subject, especially about what flight crew members, mechanics like Chuck, flight attendants and pilots and ground personnel had to put up with over their career with the airlines. And I want to open up the microphone so that anyone that would like to comment about some of the memories that they had about a particular flight or whatever they want to talk about tonight, then please just barge right in and tell us what you want to tell us. So I'll open up all the microphones.
Linda Brooks.
Who do
Linda
we have?
Brooks?
Linda Brooks.
Linda Brooks.
Yes. Hello, Linda. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I was based in D.C. from 1968 to 1991 as a flight attendant. This is the first time I've listened to the show, and it's really funny. I'm just sitting here laughing, and I'm semi-retired now, living in Newport News, Virginia. But I just wanted to show you, I've got some other stories, but a short one. I was flying 727 out of New York to Miami, and everybody was coming on and talking, saying hello, and this one man got on, and he said, this is going to be a terrible flight. And I said, well, now that you're here. And that's it.
Now that you're here.
Now that you're here, it's going to be a terrible flight. So
it's going to be a terrible flight.
Right. Well, thank you for all you guys do, and I'll continue listening. Okay.
Hey, Linda. Well, you were based in New York.
No, in D.C.
In Washington. What
in
may
DC,
I ask you?
Yes.
May I ask what years you were in Washington?
I graduated in 1968, and I was there till the end, and loved it, absolutely loved it. That was my life.
I think everyone talking and listening to our show loved the fact that we had the association and the years that we were with the company.
Thank you for doing this show. It's wonderful, and just listening tonight, all the stories, I'm just sitting here laughing, and thanks for doing what you do, dear.
We certainly appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in, Linda. And anyone else would like to step up?
Hey, Neil. This is Jill again. I've got one
for you. Hey, Jill again. Go ahead, Jill.
It was a charter flight, speaking of charter flights, from we deadheaded the airplane down to Caracas, Venezuela, to pick up a load of bananas. And during the flight, we got back into Miami because everybody had to clear customs, and we were going back up to Nashville. And, you know, we got cleared customs in Miami and loaded everybody back up. And about, not too long after we hit probably the Alabama line, we just had a problem with the cover on the outside of the aircraft covering up for the jaunts, you know, I don't know what it's called, but, you know, where the cover is to keep all the contents in.
Yeah.
Well, to say the least, it created a vacuum in the aircraft. And another flight attendant myself, and of course, the doors, and I believe it was the DC-8, and the doors opened in the aft. And so the curtain from the galley was being pulled back into the lavatory. And we were trying to pull the door closed. So then we went out and got the engineer, who was Trig Adams at the time. And we were in a chain of people. He was holding the door trying to pull. We were pulling him, one behind each other. And we finally got it closed and got it locked. And as we started service back up, I had a passenger, as I was serving him his drink, said, "When we get over Birmingham, do you think I could use that same toilet? I have a debt to pay." And I never laughed so hard. And we had gotten delayed, and, you know, we were several hours late, but this was a very jovial group of dentists that were returning home from vacation. And that's just one of my many stories. Anyway, I'll pass it along now to somebody else.
Okay, anyone else? I don't have all the microphones opened. Remember, just press 1 if you'd like to speak up, and we'll open your microphone, and you can say what you want to say. We've got a board lit up here tonight, and I can recall I don't see anyone wanting to open their microphones and make a statement or tell us a story that they would like to share with us tonight. And so, therefore, I will tell this one story, and then we'll talk a little bit about the first flight. But my story was a trip from Atlanta to Los Angeles, and it was a night flight, leaving about 10 o'clock at night from Atlanta, going to L.A. And the flight attendant came up, and this was in a 727. Flight attendant came up and said, "Captain, I want you to come back here and see what's going on." And I was thinking that there might be some little bit of commotion back there, and she wanted me to settle it. But as it turned out, when I went back, she took me back to the galley in the 727. As you can recall, the 727 between the galley and the first class had a curtain. And if you looked, if you were on the right-hand side, on the starboard side of the airplane, the right-hand side of the airplane, you could look through the area where the waste disposal was. I can remember to this day all of the airplane and me going back to the galley. And, it, of course, the lights, you know, at that time of night were all dimmed and people were sleeping. And she brought me back to the galley and she said, look. So as I looked through that little peephole or that little area that was exposed to the first class section, I saw in the last seats two people that were very much in love. Very much
we
in love.
We know where this story's going.
No, I'm going to end it just a second, Jill. And she looked and I said, well, there was a blanket that you could visualize beneath the blanket what was going on. And so she said, what shall I do? And I told her, I said, as far as I'm concerned, they paid first class, and by golly, they're going in first class. End of story. End of story. But truth be told,
we're getting a lot of feedback. A lot of feedback
I know,
on here. Do you hear it?
Well, yeah, Jim, you're right. We do have a lot of feedback. We're going to talk through the feedback because we got 100 people on the line listening to us tonight, it seems like. And
okay.
All of the phones are
since
open.
You were going that route.
Go ahead, Jim.
It was on a 10-11, and I'm senior on a 10-11. We've departed from Toronto. We've landed in Buffalo. The crew has got their buffalo wings ready to eat up, scarf down, however you want to call it. And we take off out of Buffalo, and right across from me in 1A and 1B is another loving couple. And I've never been so embarrassed because here I am on takeoff having to sit right across from them with a blanket. I will not say anything more than that.
Well, I might have been confused. Maybe I was with you, Jill, but I remember it to Los Angeles. So maybe the same couple were on your flight that was on my flight.
L-1011 have five seats in the back. Five seats in the back coach area, and it's famous for Lover's Lane.
Oh, well,
yeah, there you
this
go.
Was 1A and 1B, and the guy had a big smile on his face.
Big.
I'm sure he did.
Okay, back to our broadcast, guys. Neil.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm
thank
having
you.
Too much fun tonight, Cecile. Let's keep the fun going.
No, it's less expensive than a hotel room.
Thanks, Jim Hart. Oh, golly, Pete. Okay, Cecile, bring us back. All right, bring us back. I think it's about time now because we don't have but a few minutes. Bring us back to reality, Cecile, and tell us a little bit about what you've been looking at as far as the first flight. That we'll get serious now. We'll talk about the first flight, which we talk about the Miami-San Juan flight. Can you tell us, bring us up, give us an update on it?
Yes, I just got through sending a whole bunch of individual emails to people that have sent emails because we have an overwhelming response to people wanting to get on board the Eastern charter plane. And we have over 220 people, a little reduction from last announcement. I think we said 229 because there were a lot of duplicate emails. I've gone through all the 300 emails that we get. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I've made sure that there's no one missing and everybody's been accounted for. And as seats open up in the first airplane, which, by the way, we thought sat 150, but it only seats 148, and as seats 16 in first and the balance in coach, as seats open up, we will send you an email acknowledging that you're confirmed. But right now, all the emails I just sent out are all standby. We have 70 standby people, or actually 75, I believe. And that's the status. And keep the emails coming, because we're trying to get a second airplane. And it's really quite encouraging. And what's encouraging isn't the word. I'm a little tired because Neil's got me working too hard here. It's quite overwhelming, the response that we get from everyone. Everybody just wants to get on that airplane, which is great. Back to you, Neil.
Okay. I'll tell you that I did a little bit of work on the side here trying to get another airplane, a Boeing 737, 757, 767, whatever was available that I could negotiate for a second flight. And I put on the internet, on the website, on EAL Radio Show website, the fact that these two airplanes would be flying formation like Blue Angels, wingtip to wingtip. But, of course, I'm just being a little bit funny there because that would never happen. But we were looking for another airplane to charter so that we could fly right behind the first flight. And for those people that would like to be on that flight, and so I did find an airplane, but their pricing of the airplane charter from Miami to San Juan was astronomical. I mean, it was like $600 a seat. And so it was much more than what we were. We would recommend, and we would want to give to those people that were over the 150 seats that we have on the first flight, the Eastern airplane. But we're still hopeful that Eastern will come up with another airplane so that the people that have our own reserve, I should say, standby, Cecile, that want to be on that flight would have a means of getting to San Juan for the activities that would be there, and waiting for them, the meet and greet at the hotel that night when we arrive, a bar and open a cash bar and hors d'oeuvres, and then the next day, of course, in San Juan, and that evening the celebration of the new Eastern Airlines coming back, and the speakers, the governor, and hopefully the mayor and the governor of San Juan and the mayor of Miami and all the executives of Eastern Airlines being there at that celebration in San Juan. So the activities alone would be probably worth people wanting to fly that cannot be on that first flight to go to San Juan from Miami and be on that celebration. Yeah.
If I could mention, we're trying to get a sponsor. We checked with legal department, and they can sponsor the dinner in San Juan or breakfast, not the airplane flight or anything like that, but to cut a little bit of the cost of whatever the breakfasts and dinners are. We're trying to get sponsors for that event in San Juan. We're working on that, but we don't guarantee it, but we're trying to get a sponsor to cut the cost a little bit.
There, very good. Cecile, that's a great idea that you had, and hopefully we can get a sponsor that will share some of the expenses and cut down the expenses of those people going on that flight. I don't know, maybe, you know, if they don't have to pay for the celebration or the meal at the celebration event that we have for the second night. If they could share in that or cut down the cost of actually traveling from Miami to San Juan for a trip like that. Some of us are in retirement, and so therefore our money is kind of devoted to medical and drugs and medicine, I should say, instead of drugs, but medicine and things like that. So our budgets are a little tight, and so we want to make it very reasonable. And the expense that a person can afford to go over and celebrate with the new Eastern Airlines and hopefully kick off that airlines into a successful first flight and venture into being around for a long time. Like we were around for, golly, what, 70-some years or whatever it was. I forgot exactly how many years, 73 years or whatever. 1928. Until 1992, we were around for a long, long time. And so we want to try to be, as we call it here on the radio show, ambassadors for the new Eastern Airlines. We wish them well. We want to do everything we can to support the new company. And this is one way that we can show that we can we are there to support them by being on this first flight, or either on the first airplane or the airplane that follows or flies formation back over to San Juan. And any way that we can, between now and anticipated flight schedule of March, that we anticipate this flight to originate, as we've been, or Cecile has found out from the new company, that's probably when it would be in March, then we want to do everything possible to accommodate as many people as we can to celebrate these activities in San Juan. And,
Neil, you want to mention how they notify you if they they're not on the list already?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll let you do it, Neil. How do they notify you on the website?
Yeah, on the website.
On the
if you go to EAL Radio Show, and if you're a listener for the first time and you're listening to us, you can go to EALRadioShow.com. It says register or sign in. And you will sign in and give a user ID and a password, and you'll be a member of our radio website. And you can look at all the 40 pages plus of Eastern information. And there you can contact us on, it says contact us. And so you can contact us just by clicking that button and putting in the fact that you want to be included in the flight and the events in San Juan. We'll probably have maybe 50 to 100 people, according to our San Juan representative, Arnie DeLeo, in San Juan. He used to be the station manager there, and he tells us there are probably 100 people there that might be coming to our activities. So we've got a lot of local people in Puerto Rico that will be attending as well. So we anticipate a large crowd there, and with management and the officials, and hopefully the governor and of Puerto Rico and the mayor of San Juan and the mayor of Miami, if we can get them on the flight to come over, we'll have a grand reopening, inauguration, or whatever you want to call it, of the new Eastern Airlines. We want to really do everything we can as employees, the old employees of Eastern Airlines, do everything possible for this new company and their new venture. So that's about all I got to say.
Neil, Jim Graybill. Neil?
Go ahead, Jim.
If you want to see what the 737-800 looks like, if you go on eBay, Eastern Airlines eBay, and scroll down, you'll see a model of the new 737 with the Eastern colors and old paint scheme. Looks really nice.
Very good. It does. It looks a lot like the old Eastern Airlines painting and the logo branding. And I know Ed Weigle, if he's listening tonight, I know he doesn't like the word branding.
Like the word.
But the old paint scheme and everything that they have decided to use when they purchased the name Eastern Air Lines from the estate of Eastern Airlines, then they use the white and blue and the logo that we are all familiar with. And they're using that, and they're putting on the side of their airplane Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, the spirit of Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, because the spirit of the airline for many, many, many years was Eddie Rickenbacker, who was a World War One ace, the first ace.
You're such a
of
jerk.
America.
All know that.
Who do we have here? Okay. I guess any other announcements that you would like to make, any of our hosts?
Well, I do know that at the ceremonies, Neil, that they are going to be showing, or they're going to have new hire flight attendants in uniform or on dress forms or whatever, they're going to be there. And also today there was a tweet of the airplane, and it had a rainbow over it.
Oh,
and it was
great.
Such a neat picture that it was like, yep, there's a wee bit of Ireland shining
okay.
down on our airplane, like it's our airplane, but
all
on
right.
the airplane.
Hey, Jill. Let me ask
yes.
you this, Jill. Have you seen the new uniforms for the pilots and the flight attendants?
I've seen them for the flight attendants. And Cecile brought up a point that there was a male flight attendant that had worked for the old Eastern Airlines who has been hired for the new Eastern Airlines. And right before the show started, I was online with another male flight attendant who was asking about the male flight attendant uniform. So, and at this point, I don't know anything about the male flight attendant uniforms, but I've seen photos, and I will place them on your Facebook page for the radio show.
Okay, very good. Very good. And for the mechanics, they probably have dungarees. They have jeans or either... and T-shirts for the mechanic.
Now, guys, we wore uniforms. Besides, they're going to they're farming out the mechanics.
Okay,
that's true.
So they will be farm coveralls.
Yeah, they could come with yellow overalls with flip flops on. You never can tell what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Who's speaking?
This is Linda Brooks again. Is any of this going to be broadcast so we can see it?
We're broadcasting right now. Everybody in the world is hearing it.
I'm talking about the plane arriving in Miami.
Oh.
And this
Linda?
Good
yeah,
question.
Linda, this is Jill.
Hi.
Hopefully we will have some photos on Facebook.
Okay.
You're a flight attendant. I would suggest going to Eastern Airlines flight attendant page
okay.
and or Eastern Happy Employees page
okay.
and check. And now these are closed pages, but because you're a flight attendant, we talk about all this stuff and we share back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to see what's going on. And I'm hoping that we'll have some photos after Friday of the ceremonies.
Okay,
good.
I just wanted to ask. Thank you so much.
Good.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Hopefully
hey, Vito,
we'll see it on national news.
Yeah, hopefully
that's
it will
true
be.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Vito, are you still with us?
I think we lost him.
Or either I haven't turned his microphone back on, if I can find it. We've got a queue here of, I don't know, hundreds of people on our dashboard here that have checked in and listening to our program. And again, the secret of being on the air is just pressing number one on your button. And sometimes I recognize an area code 305 where I know Vito is in area code 305. And I wanted to make sure that, 305. I do have his microphone turned on and must be someone else in area code 305. I guess we got more people living in the Miami area than just Vito Borelli. And so... Let's see. That's the way it is. December 15th, 2014. Sounds like a broadcaster would say something like that.
Yeah, there was a man that said that.
Yeah. But right now, unless someone else has something to say, that we have music that tells us we're about out of time, Jim Hart.
Certainly, Neil. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks.
We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station. www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. And we hope we are doing so here at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 196 departs the gate. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And from all the gang here at our studio and remote locations, we all say all together now, good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern.
See you
good
next
night,
week.
Eastern family.
Family.
Good night.